The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
From 27 weeks to 18 weeks, the driving test waitlist has finally been reduced. The RSA Action Plan set out a series of actions to bring the average wait time down. And we're joined by Brendan Walsh, Chief Operations Officer of the RSA, to explain what they have done and how successful it's been. Brendan, good morning.
Morning, Pat. How are you?
So what have you done?
What have we done? Okay, we first of all recognised we have a very serious problem. That problem was addressed by the addition of a significant number of staff to the service. Those staff have been sanctioned to us by the Department of Transport, first of all. So the biggest driver is that we've actually increased the number of driving testers from a permanent number of 130, and it will be 200 people by the middle of August.
That's an extraordinary increase in staff. I mean, will they all be kept busy when you reduce the waiting times?
They will, because not only when we reduce the waiting times, you know, that we have in the current issue, shall we say, but we also have other activities around multiple learner permits, which will require a change in legislation, which will see us at some point in the very near future have to increase the number of tests that we're carrying out, because quite simply there are too many people driving in the country on repeat learner permits, and we want to the government want to bring in legislation to address that, to ensure that if you're driving on the road, you are driving with a license.
Okay, so those multiple permit people, how are they going to stop them getting multiple permits? Will they bring in some law that says unless you've taken a test within so many months or years maybe, you cannot get into a car?
Exactly. I mean, with the criteria is still being finely tuned at the moment, but what we are targeting at the moment is that you will not be able to get a third or subsequent learner permit unless you have actually carried out a test, where today all you have to do is apply for a test.
And there's no shows then?
And then you have no shows, exactly.
Okay, now the current time has dropped from 27 weeks, and you tell me, I had 18.4, you tell me, even this morning
even
it's
this
lower
morning,
again.
It's dropping pretty much by the day, and this is due to the significant work that our staff have put in. To give an example on it, we opened up 17,000 slots in the month of April. As of to date in June, we've opened up 23,000 slots for the month of June. And this has been driven quite simply by the fact that we are working significant amount of overtime. Our teams on the ground and in the back offices and in our call centres are working all the overtime that they can consume. We are working bank holidays. We are working Saturdays. And as a result of that, we've been able to make these significant adjustments and these significant gains towards getting back to our 10-week SLA.
You were building new test centres as well.
We're not building. We normally just acquire them. Lease them.
Okay, so we're going to have two new test centres.
Exactly. We will have two new test centres. And as I've said to our colleagues recently in the Oireachtas, it's not test centres that drive down the waiting list. It's actually the people in them. So, you know, for us.
But still, for convenience, I mean, the more you have the close to people who need to do a test, the better.
Absolutely, absolutely. And those test centres, we've one located in the town of Drogheda, and we've one located, hopefully, in Sandyford as well. So we've heads of terms signed on both of them, and we are just in the process now of negotiating the leases.
Now, people talking about this business of if you do the test and you fail, you can get a third provisional. You still have to be a company, though. That would be the whole thing.
You still
and
have.
And that's the problem for people. You know, if you need a car to get from A to B, you don't necessarily have a convenient parent or companion to go with you. Mm. So that's the incentive to get people to apply.
It is. It is. And what we are really advocating is that you do not drive unaccompanied if you're on a learner permit. It's against the law. But also, our research has shown that you're at higher risk of actually being involved in an accident if you're driving unaccompanied under a learner permit.
Now, the question of this huge increase in the number of testers, which is great news, it'll bring the waiting list down dramatically. Mm. I mean, why was there not a gradual increase being sought by the RSA all the time? Or perhaps why didn't the government sanction this? Because suddenly to up it by 50% shows the huge deficit that was there, which was ignored by somebody.
Look, I think this is driven by a couple of factors. But the biggest factor is we are delivering more tests than we've ever delivered before, but we have more applications than we've ever had before. Last year, we had 274,000 applications. Back in 2019, the average application number was about 160,000. So we've had a huge uplift in the number of people looking for a test. Initially, it was thought it was a post-COVID surge. So we had brought in temporary testers.
So it's proven to be persistent.
It's persistent. That's the problem we've had. We expected this to go down. It didn't go down.
I'm a bit confused, though. I mean, if you take the leaving cert, you know, you've 70,000 people or whatever doing it. And let's presume they are the people who are of an age to get a license. Where are the rest of them coming from?
Well, traditionally, what we would have seen is that those who have learner permits would normally been aged between 17 and 25. That's where we would see the highest number of learner permits. Highest number of learner permits now is actually for people aged 30 to 39.
And who are they? I mean, are they people who've come into the country to work maybe in tech or whatever, or in the health services, and find they need a car to get from A to B in Ireland? And if so, how many of those would have to do the whole rigmarole of 12 lessons or whatever it is if they had a license in their home country?
Okay, so there's two parts to that answer. The first part of it is, yes, there are people coming into the country. We know that. You know, we have net inward migration, which is great, because
who's entitled to completely instantly convert if they want to their home license to an Irish license?
So there are, if you're within the European Union, that you're immediately allowed to transition that over. We do have agreements with some countries where we recognise their license. For example, Georgia. I know there was quite a lot of publicity around Georgia recently. They were the most recent country that we've aligned our exchanges with. So if somebody holds a license, let's say for the Philippines. So we have a lot of people working within the NCT from the Philippines, just as an example. If you hold a full license from the Philippines, you don't have to do the 12 EDT, but you do have to do six.
You do six and then do the test.
Because it's a different test. It's a different way of learning. And we have found that, you know, if you hold a full license, you would understand the basics of driving a car, but we need you to understand our
Mind you, if you can drive in the Philippines, you can drive anywhere.
Absolutely, yeah.
No question about that. Now, the people you mentioned, and I mentioned them coming in for the health services and so on, so they would be a big driver of the numbers as well.
Absolutely. We see it in our test centres. I get out to our test centres as often as I can. I was recently at our test centre in Tala, and we had a myriad of people, you know, in the waiting room from all nationalities who've come here. They've made Ireland their home, and they are looking to have driving tests. I mean, we know our bus drivers, our truck drivers, taxi drivers, all of these people, a lot of these people are now coming in, and they're coming in from other countries. And this is great because we do need them in the workforce, but they need licenses.
Now, when you align with a country like Georgia or whatever, and you haven't aligned yet with the Philippines, and perhaps you never will, how do you work out the alignment? I mean, do you send people over to have a look at their driving instruction and driving testing to show that it's compatible and equivalent to Ireland?
So what we do is, so traditionally what we've done is we would review their content. There's a script that we would analyse. So basically their standard operating processes. We would look at that, we would compare that to ours, and we would work out, okay, this is comparable. What my team and I have recently discussed is that we probably need to start going out to these markets because we haven't done that. So our chief driving tester, I've had some conversations with him about, look, the next time we do this, I think it's worthwhile actually going out and taking a test. So this is something, it'll be a new step that we would like to bring in, is actually going to the market, not just a case of looking at the documentation that they've provided us with, comparing it with our rules and regulations and European regulations. We want to actually physically go there and touch
so
and
would,
feel it.
So would this be a mystery driver? Applies, so that they wouldn't know this is your man from Ireland and we're trying to get aligned Ireland, so let's make it proper for him.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to work out that, because the last thing we'd want is that there will be any type of altering of the test.
Now, the question of the nature of our driving instruction and driving testing. Now, the anomaly would be that you can, for example, if you can go at a certain speed, you can drive a tractor on a motorway, but a learner can't drive a car on a motorway. And yet it's one of the first things for most commutes, motorways involved. So they will be required to do that as soon as they pass the test without ever having, in theory, experience on a motorway.
This is something that's very close to my own heart. I've had some discussions internally about how we should consider introducing motorway driving into the curriculum. So we started a project about a year ago on how you learn to drive, how we test as a country, and how we can also continue further education after you get your license. Because I got my license 30 years ago. The roads have changed, cars have changed. You know, I think everybody would actually benefit from additional learning as we go through our driving.
It's the most scary thing for a driver, and having had a daughter learn to drive, for example, it's that moment when they pass their test and they've, you know, done very well and they've obeyed all the rules and instructions. And then they have to go maybe simply to, say, from Dublin or from where I live, from Dalkey to Enniskerry, and they go via the motorway. It's that moment of entering the motorway and everything's coming along at 120 kilometres an hour. They've never driven at that speed before, and they'll be honked at as a slowpoke if they don't get up to speed quickly. Yeah. So how do you give them that experience
It's something within the education process that we're looking at doing. I'm a passionate believer in that we should be teaching people how to drive on motorways. I drive up and down the country. I was in Shannon. I was in Galway yesterday. So I was completely across the motorway network. And yes, I see bad driving. You know, I think we all see bad driving on the motorway. We see people sitting in the outside lane, you know, driving at 100 kilometres an hour, causing problems for people who are behind them and so on. So it is a passionate element that is part for me, where it's part of the driver curriculum, that I want to do something around the how you learn to drive on a motorway. Because the reality is you can get a license. If you're over 25, go to Germany, hire a car and drive in an unrestricted autobahn.
Yeah.
We have to stop that. We have to fix that.
Now, your target is 10 weeks, and you hope to hit that by September.
We are tasked by the Minister with hitting that by September, and I'm delighted to say we are on course to hit that.
Now, I came across people who had done, you know, they did the theory test. Then they have to kind of wait in line they have to queue to queue. Is that still the case?
It is still the case.
And does that, the numbers we're talking about, where does the 10 weeks come in? Is it when you get on the queue that you have 10 weeks?
It's 10 weeks for your time to invite. So what we look is you're waiting 10 weeks to get an invite to actually go. The target will be get to 10 weeks to wait for an invite to actually do your test.
So I do my theory test and I let you know. I've done my theory test, I passed it, and then I wait. And the idea is that the maximum I will have to wait for an invitation from you guys to join the queue is 10 weeks.
It is. But remember, once you do your theory test, you then have to do your 12 EDT. You also have to do an additional 36 hours of accompanied driving. So there's a lot of work has to be done in that space of time.
Okay, but then you finally invite me and then I'm on another waiting list.
You were invited and yes, you are on another waiting list. And that is something that, again...
So what's the real time? What is the real waiting time from the moment I pass my theory test?
Well, from the moment you pass your theory test, it actually depends on when you complete your learning
to
drive.
I do it fairly quickly, fairly promptly, 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay, so if you do it in let's say 3 weeks, there's a statutory requirement where you actually have to wait 6 months. So you have to be driving, you have to be learning to drive on your learner permit for a minimum of 6 months before you can actually take your test.
Okay, so I'm expecting my invitation, though, within 10 weeks of passing my theory test to get on the real queue.
No, within 10 weeks of completing your last EDT, so your 12th learning lesson.
Okay, but suppose I do that in 3 weeks. I'm anxious to get. I want to work. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be driving for work. And I do it very quickly. I mean, I have a cooperative parent or whatever, and I do it very quickly.
You still have to wait 6 months. You have to wait 6 months because we believe... Before you can apply. Because we have people who do apply. They go on to a waiting list. And then once they cross that threshold of 6 months, then they go on to the waiting
list. So is this all this promise of 10 weeks? It's kind of its great headline, but is it not smoke and mirrors?
No, it's not. It's not. I mean, the reality is learning to drive is something that you cannot rush. We do believe that you should take your time to drive. You should be practicing your driving while you're waiting for your invite. Our objective is to get down below the 10 weeks for the time to invite, which is what it has always been. Now, as part of our ongoing work with our new testers coming in, we will be looking at new ways of working as well, as we have done to drive the waiting time down.
Okay, some of the texts coming in. I think a lot of people have relocated out of Dublin and moved to more rural areas because of high rents, etc. Therefore, they now need a car, hence the demand. You have to do tests for motorbikes and trucks in stages, working your way up through engine sizes. Anyone can pass your car test in a Micra and then go drive a Ferrari. Madness. Pass your test and sit one additional lesson on a motorway before the license is sent to you. That's an idea from Joe in Galway. I've been waiting since November to get a driving test, 8 months long. Every time I check the portal to see when the estimated date will be, it keeps getting pushed back. I'm also an apprentice, so having my license is essential for me to be able to work. I check every day for potential cancellation appointments. It's been an absolute nightmare for me. I can't understand why I'm waiting 8 months to sit a test. When will I get my date?
I don't know who that is, but what I can say is that the events of actually waiting around 8 months, that does sound extraordinarily long. So what I would do is encourage your listener to engage with our call centre and we'll see if there's any way we can help them, because we do release slots every day for people who've cancelled tests. Mm-hmm. I've had events recently where people I know, people who've written to us, by the time we get back to them, they have their test completed, because we do have a short waiting list where you can, any test that's cancelled, mm-hmm. gets immediately dropped onto our
system.
There's
lots of comments coming in along these lines. Our son and daughter applied for their driving tests last October, 8 months ago. It's ridiculous. Our son and daughter, same kind of thing from more listeners. I've always thought that every license holder should have to do a refresher, say at least 2 driving lessons every 5 or 10 years to keep your license. Obviously, it couldn't be done until the current license queues are sorted. That would be a bit tedious, I'd imagine. Every 5 or 10 years having to...
Well, let me tell you one of the things we're actually...
How many motors do we have? Millions?
Oh, God, 2.3 million. That's put me on the spot.
Okay, so every 5 years, it'd mean 400,000 extra tests every year.
No, not possible. We carried out last year a record number of tests, and it was 250,000.
And let's see. Our test is not fit for purpose. Why are we not looking at best practice in other European countries?
We are.
That's why we have so many appalling drivers just sitting so dangerously in the outside lanes. The basics like blocking yellow boxes, they do it. I see it every single day.
Yeah, me too.
A simple idea for motorway training. Complete the normal 12 EDTs and pass your full test. Get your end plate. Within 2 years of the end plate, have an additional mandatory module for motorway training and a sign off at the end. And if successful, gain a new end plate with a small M on the bottom corner. Oh, come on. You know.
Look, to be honest with you, that idea is very, very closely aligned to what they're doing in other European markets, where you get your license and then you actually come back a year later and you're evaluated again. But during that period, you're taught how to drive on motorways.
Yeah, because I mean, people get their license and they need to get from A to B. And so many options are limited now to motorways. Efficient options are limited to motorways.
Driving on motorways is a passion. I lived and worked in Germany for years, and I can tell you, driving on autobahns, the rules are very, very strict, but also the people are very, very compliant. I don't know whether it's just the German nature, but they are very compliant. And unfortunately, it's something we don't see here on the motorway, and it is something we are working to work to educate on.
Final comment, we don't have time to get the initial test done, let alone a follow-up system. Anyway, Brendan, thank you very much for joining us. That's Brendan Walsh, RSA Chief Operations Officer. And we could do another segment on the NCT, but that's maybe for another day.
No problem.
Brendan, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.